Yes, indeed, it's That's Entertainment, where we normally start off the show by trying to get the microphone in front of Katie's face, with some success today. Hi, Katie.
Hello, I'm very nervous today. Me and this microphone don't seem to be getting on the
best.
No,
you're grand, you're grand. Ever ready, ever steady, Michael Leddy, good morning to you. Thank you very much indeed.
I like that.
Completely
hello.
Completely accidental.
How are you?
I must say. And you're sharing the hour with, we're going to have a performance from the Addams Family stage show and other stuff as well.
I just booked my tickets to that. I'm very excited. Yeah.
They're a bit creepy, aren't they? And a bit kooky. Yeah. I don't know.
Spooky, I would have described
them. Yeah.
Spooky, creepy.
Yeah, creepy, kooky. I don't know.
Well, that'd be an insult now, it's marketing. Right, okay. So, as I say, this is a mix of stuff. We've already had Pat Short on, really. So entertainment started from about half past ten. Katie, we'll go ladies first, if you can do that in 2024. Oh, that's not an insult, is
no,
it?
No, absolutely not.
Are you sure?
No.
Right, okay. Interesting your views on Lover, Stalker, Killer. It's on Netflix. It was number one for ages. I think it's number two now. It's sort of an hour and a half documentary stroke drama.
It's a couple of episodes. It's either
no,
two.
No, it's not.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, I beg your pardon. It's an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
An hour and 27 minutes. Sorry, I apologise.
Did you split it over two nights?
No, there's another one. There is another one that's very similar. That's
do you want to
over
talk
three
about
episodes.
That?
No,
so
I do
So we
not.
Talk about the one then
I'll
that's an hour and a half
one,
long?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
He is horrible, isn't
he's,
he?
No, I'm not.
He's
it's
on
horrible.
Today, horrible. I feel.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm crabbing.
Right, I'm heading on home. Listen, I'll see.
I feel like this could very easily turn into a therapy session. But instead, I'll talk about Lover, Stalker, Killer. So I didn't really know anything about this when I started watching it. And again, I wasn't really, I was folding the clothes on a Sunday afternoon kind of thing, just wanting something that I had in the background. But it's a different one. You know, a lot of these ones are based around male killers of women, we'll say, right? And this one is a bit different in that the protagonist is female.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know, shocking. But yeah, it is.
I thought girls were made of sugar and spice and all things nice, and they never did. Okay.
Well, me too. Yeah. I was as shocked as you were. But it's about a fella who goes online dating. Having broken up with his longtime girlfriend and finds this female who he gets involved with, and she turns out to be crazy.
Well, someone does along the way. Yeah. The thing about the way this story is told that I was a little bit uncomfortable with, in that a victim or potential victim, right, is just used as a, have to be careful because I don't want to spoil it for anyone, as a mechanism for the story or for a reveal or for a twist. And I just thought we kind of maybe are beyond where a victim, right, is just a tool to tell an interesting story.
I was talking to somebody else.
That makes sense. A lot of this program, this is kind of crucial to the plot, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, but I just really feel that they sacrificed someone's memory to tell a story in a certain way.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody else about this during the week, and they themselves felt when they came to the end of it that there was gaps in the story. And I feel that there was areas that were left out of it because that's not what the documentary was about. It wasn't about certain things that people will know themselves when they come to the end.
Yeah, but
of it.
Certain characters are framed
in
a certain way for much of the.
I get where you're coming from there. I do.
It literally just to tell a story, and to the point where it's edited that people close
but it's
to
very,
her
yeah,
refer. Yeah,
it's very much part of the story, though. It's very much part of it. And again, this is all very cryptic, and people listening in are going to be like, "What on earth are they on about?"
Watch Do you know the funny thing is, it'll probably be on Gogglebox on Friday and tell the whole bloody story. Do you know what I mean? We'd be so careful with spoilers, but you'd be watching Gogglebox and there's no point watching a show because they tell you the beginning, the middle, and the end.
It's definitely one of those ones that, like, okay, I joke when I say there's no such thing as female killers. Obviously, I know that women are not all innocent, but it's definitely one that's very, very unusual in its context.
Okay, I just feel a victim is victimised again to tell a story. It's indisputable.
But it's very
Katie.
Much about her. I don't think so. I think it's very much her story as well as...
Yeah, but if you only watch 3/4 of it, you wouldn't know. You would just think...
Well, I recommend you watch it to the end.
Anyway, if you did watch it...
One point to Katie.
If you did watch it and you think I'm barking up the wrong tree, let me know. 086 60 25,000. Lots of you out there did watch it because it's been heavily pushed by Netflix. Lover, stalker, killer. I did enjoy it. I didn't like him too much.
No, I didn't. I'm with you on that.
I don't think he's quite the Brad Pitt that he thinks he is.
No, well, there's a part in it where, like, and this isn't giving anything away about anyone or anything, but, you know, obviously there's a person who's kind of against him in some way, and he goes back online, and like, oh no, well, I just went back online then and find someone else to date.
Yeah, and I told her I'm not interested in anything. I just want to, you know, shift and drift. And that's the second time this week I've used that phrase. But, you know, it's
a
like...
new one for me.
It's like, you know, I find myself at the middle of all of this. And
Anyway,
but that being said, I enjoyed it and then felt bad because I just felt for the story arc, a victim was victimised again. Mm. But anyway... I would be very interested. I'm very interested in your opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with you, so I want to hear other opinions that I do agree with. So
that's, and then to make you right and me
but
wrong.
That's good content. No. The conflict is good
that
content.
That would just make me feel empowered. Right, okay. Shall we go to the cinema? Madam Webb, what's going on here?
Yeah, that is. I was asking myself the very same question, Greg, as it came out of the cinema. Madam Webb is the latest of the Sony Marvel movies. I know, yeah.
Do you have any other films at all that you can review?
Yes, I do, actually. I didn't think you would go for...
I'm joking.
Spaceship Earth, but anyway, no.
So
Madam Web has been slated by the critics. They have given it 13%. And the audiences have been a bit kinder with 56. So the last time Sony had a Marvel movie, it was... See, they have the rights to some of the Marvel characters.
Do they?
They do, Greg. And I know that this is... I'm talking to the choir here because Greg knows all this stuff.
I'm going to stop this now. Carry it. Go on. I do really appreciate you reviewing these
films. So, I earned my commission on this one, I can tell you. So, I would have gone to see it anyway. Basically, Sony have the rights to some Marvel characters, but they don't quite know what to do with them. The last movie they had was Morbius, and it was an absolute travesty. This movie isn't as bad as that, but it's a bit of a mess. So, if you review it as a Marvel fan, such as me, they just get everything wrong about the characters. They get Madam Web wrong because they've cast Dakota Johnson, who I don't know, but I think she was in the 50 Shades of Grey movies. She's a very attractive lady, but she has no charisma whatsoever, and she can't
anchor... Well, at least she's good looking.
She can't anchor a film. But you know what I mean? She can't anchor...
There was another one she was in. What's it called? How to Be Single.
I didn't even know that.
Can't carry it then. Yeah.
No. Yeah. And she's the wrong age. Madam Web is meant to be an elderly person. If you're casting someone like Helen Mirren or somebody of that age, that's the character from the comic books. Mm-hmm. But put all that aside. Just put that aside. This is a superhero movie which doesn't put the characters in costume or do any of that. Yeah. It's really a thriller. She is aware that three young girls, one of them being Sydney Sweeney, are being targeted by a mysterious killer. So the whole thing is a chase trying to protect them. If you just look at this as a thriller with some sci-fi fantasy elements, it's still terrible. It's just a badly constructed...
Right, so take Marvel out of it.
Out of the equation, it still doesn't work because it's a jumbled kind of mess. Characters making really stupid choices to put themselves in peril. Like she says, you know, you guys have to stay here in the woods in the park. I'll come back in 3 hours. You must stay here. So they go to a diner. And immediately they put their card in and all this gets cut. So characters making stupid decisions.
Sydney Sweeney looks very different in this compared to her last outing in whatchamacallit.
Anyone But You.
Yeah.
I went to see that at Christmas partly because I knew she was in this and I wanted to see her. And she was excellent. in anyone but you. She was lovely and
she
cute.
She was lovely.
She
and
was
cute,
like
she's terrible.
She was like a rom com. It was a rom com. Yeah. But in this movie,
I enjoyed it, but I don't think she was brilliant in it.
But she did what Goldie Hawn used to do.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, she did that thing that they do. But in this film, again, I was like, is that the same woman? Mm. No charisma, no interest. I couldn't.
She
care.
Didn't have charisma in anyone. But you,
really think?
No, she didn't. Now she
was invested.
She's incredibly endearing because she's really, you know, she's a very attractive.
Oh, she's a very attractive lady. But do you not think she was like? I empathized with her. Empathy. It's all about empathy.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But again,
yeah. So
I've been wrong once before this hour.
No, it's just it's lively debates going on
today. Yeah.
I need to get out of. I'm interviewing Leah Varadkar mode
when
I'm talking about
when the Addams Family when the Addams Family stars are in the studio. Greg will be like, but you're not creepy and you're not kooky and you're not.
She's not good. You're wrong. You're wrong. I don't care what you think.
So, Madam Web,
why are you dressing up like that, trying to influence our children?
So, Madam Web doesn't work as a movie. It just doesn't. Yeah. It's not as bad as Morbius, which was really stupid in some of the choices. But part of the problems with this movie is the villain's not explained. It's one of those movies where the bad guy is just bad things because it's Thursday.
I'll genuinely be interested in watching this, right? Because I don't have the Marvel baggage that
you
have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'll be interested to watch this sort of as a standalone-y type of thing and see, well, do I think it's...
It works.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it works,
so
yeah.
I'll be and that's the great thing about what we do, because even if you don't particularly like the film, it triggers someone's interest seeing it. So what can you give it out of 10,
then? 2 or 3. It's just a mess. It didn't work. I was dying for it to be over.
Okay.
Really was.
What were you rating Love, a Stalker, Killer, by the way?
I would give it... I'd agree with that. Yeah.
Rightio, we'll be back with more from Kai Tai, from Michael, and the cast, or some of the cast of The Addams Family and other stuff after these. Rightio, we're in the company of Michael Leddy and Katie McGee as well. And let's see what we shall go to next. I know this is not the toppy list, it's number 6, but David Brent, Life on the Road, is this a new incarnation of the David Brent character, or is this been out for a bit?
It's been out for a long time, actually. It's been out since just after the UK office finished.
Oh, so this was a follow-up to that?
It
sort
is,
of what happened next with Brent?
Exactly, yeah. And actually, like, I hadn't seen it in a long time. I remember watching it when it came out, so that must have been about, Janie Macker's about 18 years ago anyway, when it came out. But it is, a worthwhile watch. I wouldn't say it's as funny as the UK office. They're laughing at me. Oh my God.
I'm laughing at him. He's laughing at you.
I've got 3 hairs on the top of my head. I'm just ready to pull them out.
Are you?
Just keep in front of the microphone, Kate.
Sorry.
I love you to bits, but just stay in front of the mic.
Okay, hold on.
I just want to say it's very entertaining for me when you don't, because I watch Greg's reaction and it's hilarious.
Hello, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Okay, sorry.
Is that okay there now? I wouldn't say that it was as funny as the UK office, but it's definitely a worthwhile watch. Mm. It's probably the first one as well that he did with a lot of the characters. You know the way he kind of uses the same cast over and over again that he does with them. He did it with The Afterlife and the God Almighty, Derek.
Extras and all of them.
Yeah. So like you kind of go, oh my God. And you kind of recognize a lot of them from those shows, even though this pre-existed, a lot of them. But it's basically about him. He is now working in this cleaning products company, but he decides to go off and try and make it as
a
musician.
Yeah. Right. So that's interesting, because I didn't realize that was not in The Office. I didn't watch The Office religiously. So all that stuff about doing album covers and all that's contained within the Life on the Road show.
Yeah. Okay. And actually, do you know, Ricky Gervais had a very successful tour. His band was called,
he was actually a legitimate musician. You're on about all of this.
No, his band is Foregone Conclusion. That was the name of the band. Now it's he's terrible. The idea is that he's terrible. So he took this as a comedy act and put it on the road and actually did a tour with Foregone Conclusion all around the UK, and it sold out. The man's a genius. Like, he just knows. He knows very funny. He knows how to make a book or two.
He knows what he's doing.
Say.
He's very funny.
But it's good. It's heartwarming. There's parts of it you sort of really feel sorry for the character.
Well, he's good
has
at that,
a lot more people.
He's actually good at. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of his, but you have to recognize that. He can do the raw stuff as well. He can do the sympathy stuff, and he did that very well in Afterlife.
He really did.
You really identify with the. You know, I heard him do an interview once about his different characters, and he said about David Brent was, you know, all he wants is this as a big hug. He just wants people to like him. That's all he does, and he goes about it all the wrong way. He's no social
skills.
Awareness, kind of thing. Yeah. So, and that really comes across. And then you have characters in this show that are really rooting for him, which, in fairness, in The Office, you didn't really, you know. So it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice in that way. There's some really, really good comedy in it as well.
All right.
So it's on Disney Plus and well worth a watch. If you enjoyed the UK Office, you'll definitely.
I wonder
enjoy
how
this.
The UK Office has aged.
That's a good question.
I watched Peep Show, a few episodes of Peep Show. Not too bad. You wouldn't get away with making it now, but it aged all right. I'm not putting these all in the same hat, but as did. There's Peep Show, which is very funny, but also
IT Crowd.
I never liked that one. The ones with the boys in school.
The Inbetweeners.
That was quite well as well.
That's
but coarse,
so funny.
Very coarse.
Very coarse.
Yeah, a bit too coarse. But I did. I again watched a couple. The odd time we'll watch an episode of the UK Office because I was a big fan when it came out, and I do think it's aged quite well because there is a couple of things that have been done since that are kind of based around that as an initial
style of shooting,
what's footprint or whatever. But I do think it's aged well. Obviously, you know, some of the it's very dated looking, but the comedy is great. It's very, very good comedy.
Basically. Right, let us go to Spaceship Earth on Apple TV.
Yes, this is a documentary, so I was watching a sitcom from the 90s and they mentioned the biosphere and I thought, oh wow, I haven't thought about the biosphere in decades. Do you remember the biosphere? The biosphere in the early 1990s, 8 scientists went into a completely enclosed environment, like 8 stories high, which had a desert and a mini ocean, which had basically, it was a completely sealed, self-contained miniature Earth. And the idea is they had to not only produce their own food for 2 years, but they had to produce their own oxygen from the plant life that they had chosen. And there is the idea behind all that was that, you know, if we're actually going to go into space, if we're actually going to live on the moon and actually live on Mars, that's what we have to do.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do. And it is fascinating, and it fascinated me at the time, but I hadn't thought about it really in a long time. So this is a very good, reasonably new documentary. I think it's about 2-3 years old. And it tells the story of the biosphere. And what it does very cleverly is it goes back 25 years, tells the origins of the people, and then it comes forward a little bit at the end, 25 years, to tell us where everybody is now and how it all came. So you get basically a 2-hour story about, and the best way to describe them is a group of hippies from the late 60s who don't embrace the drug culture and they don't seem to embrace the free love culture. Aspects of that. They don't seem to have gone that route. But it's a group of men and women who met in their late teens and really clicked as a group and started doing things together. They built a ranch from scratch and they lived on that ranch and still do live on that ranch. Spoiler, minor spoiler. They built a ship from scratch designed by a 19-year-old woman who had no experience. She designed it. Another man, another youngster, he learned how to navigate by the stars. And they went to sea and they travelled the world in the 70s. And another thing about them that was unusual is that they were very capitalistic in their endeavours. They built.
Did they take this upon themselves or did NASA put them in there?
No, this was just a group, seriously, a group of hippies. Okay. They were just guys who were like, let's change the world, man. Let's do this. And I sound like I'm making fun of them, but they set out to do these things. And then they travelled around. They built an art gallery in London, which was, and to my knowledge, still is very successful. They built a hotel in somewhere like Kathmandu, which was, and to my knowledge, still is very. So they made loads of money. And then they partnered up with a friendly millionaire billionaire, as we all want to do. And that helped them fund things through the 80s. And it all came, and the first half hour or 45 minutes of the documentary is about this. And they're also a theatre group. They like to get together, paint their faces and jump around and do all sorts of stuff. Just, you know, expressive theatre, you know. And I've known people like that who, you know, feel like you need to scream it out and you need to do all these things. And out of all that came the idea of this biodome, that they would actually build this thing in the desert and live in it and prove that you could go to space and do all this. And so they did it.
Is there any, you know, sort of quality control here that they don't slip out and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's part of the story. There was elements of it didn't go all according to plan, which there was some.
Is it a multi-part program?
It's a movie. It's a
right,
movie.
Okay.
And it's really worth watching. Yeah. Now, without saying too much, I remember this being on. This was all over the news in the 90s. They were locked in. That was a major event around the world in the early 90s. After a while, one of them had a very minor accident with one of the tools and she needed to leave. They couldn't. They had a doctor in-house, but she needed to leave. Mm-hmm. And when she went back in, she brought in a couple of bags of some things and that was a scandal. You know, she brought in things from the outside world, which was not supposed. So there are elements of scandal. By the end of it, I don't want to say too much, but by the end of it, there was a lot of media criticism of what they were doing. And there were two camps. One camp was, this is valid scientific research. And the other camp was, this is just a circus. It doesn't mean anything. Because by its very nature, it's unique. You can't repeat this experiment.
Do you get an option to conclude your own view
yes,
of whether
you do.
It was a circus or
you do.
Something that was
I
important.
Think you do. Okay. I would fall on one side of the argument. But what's very interesting as well, before we leave it, is by the end of the story, there were some squabbles outside. And one of the people that were brought in to take over was Steve Bannon. Now, Steve Bannon has been in the news in recent years because of his association with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting to see a young Steve Bannon show up in the last 15 minutes of this. And he was an absolute, what word can I use on the radio? Jackass then as well. And it's fascinating to see the younger. So I would give this a very strong 9 out of 10. I was fascinated. Sometimes I like this idea of, sometimes after dealing with Greg Hughes for an hour,
yes. yeah.
I feel like I walk home and I'm like, wouldn't it be nice to go into the biosphere for 2 years and see nobody?
I get a lot of that at home.
But it is a fascinating idea. And they did it. They did it for 2 years. There's much more to the story.
You might find this hard to believe, but people actually socialise with me by choice at times. Like, they make their own decision.
Have you got signed statements from these people?
They do. You might find that hard to believe.
NDAs.
So I would recommend this. I would say, this is on Apple, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
So I would recommend it. It's a couple of years old. It's right up to date. And there's no instance where the producer asks a question off camera. Everybody is mic'd and there's no off camera questions.
What a revelation. Fantastic.
I know. I was watching for that because you ruined
it does annoy,
every
it,
documentary
know,
for
know,
me.
It is
However,
annoying.
There is some drone footage, Greg.
Do you know, I don't mind the drone footage. I don't like it when it's clearly used as filler.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
right, so everything we've talked about so far, except Lover, Stalker, Killer, is ancient, as is Mr. Mercedes. No, Caroline, as soon as he's there, I will let you know. My ear. No, he's not. I'm taking these off.
Oh my God, you're in so much trouble.
I'm putting them back on. Yeah. Mr. Mercedes is on Disney Plus. This is a funny show because for me, I start off enjoying it and then it kind of, I think, if I'm thinking the same show, went off on a bit of a tangent. But it is, it's a big show that not everybody may have seen.
Yeah.
So it's an opportunity now on Disney Plus. How would you frame it?
Well, again, my dad actually mentioned it to me a good while ago and I didn't know what he was talking about. Then I came across it in Disney Plus and I'll give that a go. It's a funny one because it sort of has, it's a weird mixed bag of being extremely dark in parts, like really dark.
Mm.
And then quite funny. Like Brendan Gleeson by nature, I think, is sort of has a way about him, even when he's not intending to be.
It's
a dark humor. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He plays it straight.
Yes. Well, Brendan Gleeson, and then his next door neighbor is played by Holland Taylor, which played she played the mother in 2 and a Half Men. She played Charlie, and I can't remember the brother's name in 2 and a Half Men, and she was very funny in it. Even though I didn't really highly recommend the show, she was very funny in it. She kind of has a bit of a lighter thing. But again, the opening scene is genie. I turned it off when I went back to it.
It's very strong, yeah.
Yeah, it's very strong. There is some quite strong scenes in it. I'm only 2 episodes in. I'm very curious as to how they're going to where they're going to take it.
Mm. You might not be happy with it.
Well,
I'm thinking of the same show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of first series, second series, and then third
series.
I only watched the first. I never went back for the second.
That was my thing I was kind of concerned about, was the fact that there is three seasons. And I'm like, oh God, how are they going to drag this out? Or is there going to be a new case for season two or
off.
What?
Stay with me. Hold the thought, because I want to say good morning to George Murphy. Good morning to you, George. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Great to have you on the programme. Right. Would you describe your career, George, as a roller coaster?
Oh, definitely, yeah. it's been plenty of up and downs now at this stage, Greg.
How would you define the peaks and the troughs?
Yeah, I mean, like the highs have been very high, but the lows have been pretty low as well, you know. I mean, it's a strange one, Greg. I was doing an interview the other day and to realise that it's been nearly 21 years now, and I don't feel like I'm old enough to be able to talk about something happening 21 years ago, but I started at the ripe old age of 17 and I've just turned 38. So, I mean, it still feels like it's only starting for me, especially now because I'm with this new band and we're just putting out our first studio album, and we're playing some of these rooms and auditoriums around the country for the very first time, like the likes of the Millennium Forum and the Ulster Hall in Belfast and Vicar Street and the Wexford Opera House, the Cork Opera House. Like over the years, I've played in them rooms, but only ever as a special guest. So to be getting the opportunities to play them now as the headline act is something pretty special. And like I said, it feels like the beginning of something, even though I'm 21 years at it now, you know?
Yeah, but as you say, only 38 still. I think you're almost peerless, if not peerless, in the country in terms of sort of the regard and the respect and the compliments that you receive from other musicians, other performers. Ronnie Drew said you had a voice beyond your years. You received invites to perform alongside the likes of Glenn Hansard and others at Shane McGowan's funeral. And there's, if you search your name, there's a whole plethora of sort of really nice things being said about you and the talents that you have. As I say, you're almost peerless in that regard, I think, especially for someone who's young, still active and alive.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very lucky in that sense. And I mean, especially with Shane McGowan's funeral, I couldn't believe it when Glenn Hansard gave me a call and asked me to be a part of it, you know. But I suppose that the funny thing is, Greg, when I started off like at 17 and I had a number one album in the country and stuff and things were going really well, but I don't really feel like I earned it at that stage in my career. Like reality TV shows can give you these kind of short bursts of light and kind of there's no sustainability or longevity in it. And I kind of felt that that's the way it was for me for a while because I had a huge kind of uprising in the beginning, and then it all kind of fell by the wayside. And for a few years, I was just kind of playing the pubs and clubs. And there's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, there's plenty of people out there make a great living doing that. But I always wanted to try and get back to the bigger stages and the ticketed events and stuff like that. And thankfully, because of some of these people that you mentioned, giving me a leg up and an opportunity to get back on the big stage and record, I've been afforded kind of like a second chance, I suppose, you know?
Yeah, indeed. And maybe with it sort of happening more slowly, more organically, an opportunity to actually live the experience, have the experience.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, it wasn't sustainable first time around. I mean, I was 17. I didn't write songs. I didn't play an instrument. And there I was, sitting with a number one album in the charts. And I mean, there's some fantastic musicians out there who have worked their socks off for 20, 30, 40 years and never experienced what I experienced after 5 minutes. And in that sense, I suppose there's an element of it being kind of unfair. But the industry is like that sometimes. So some people are a flash in the pan and they get
great success for like a few weeks or a few months or maybe even a few years. And then other people kind of take the longer road, and it pans out for them over a journey of a lifetime. Yeah. And I feel like I could have just been one of those guys who done the show, released an album, and then had to go back to a day job a couple of years later because it didn't work out. But I didn't want that to be me, and I kind of dug my heels in. I taught myself how to play the guitar. I started writing stuff and working with like-minded people. And I suppose if you wanted to describe it like an apprenticeship, I started the wrong way around. Like, I started kind of at the top and then fell to the bottom. But I feel this time round now, after so long of working hard at it, that I'm finally kind of getting to where I need to be. And this time it feels a bit more deserving, I suppose.
That's nice to hear. And I'm sure others would say it was all deserving, but it's your experience and your life, and who best to frame it than yourself. The reason we wanted to speak to you is because you're coming to the Millennium Forum in Derry on the 27th of April. Now, it will sell out, so if you're interested, and I'm sure many are, in seeing George Murphy performing, you will need to get onto the Millennium Forum box office and book your tickets. But I suppose to wrap up, George, talk to us about this show that you're taking to Derry.
So basically, Greg, I was touring with the High Kings. I was a member of the High Kings for a while. And when I wasn't playing with them anymore, or when I wasn't on tour with them, I came home and I approached one of the local bars, and I asked them if I could start a session. And they said absolutely. And I put the word out on social media that if anyone played an instrument or sang a song or whatever, that they were more than welcome to come down and get involved in this session. And excuse me, it started off the way most sessions do, with like banjos and fiddles and whistles, and it had a very Irish kind of sentiment to it. But then all of a sudden a guy arrived with an electric guitar, and another guy like with drums, and another guy with a bass guitar, and it was a bit more kind of rock and roll. And I was like, look, I don't really know if this is the direction we want to go in, I said to the guys. And they said, look, we just saw the message that you were looking for people to play, and we said we'd come down. And all of a sudden I started to notice the sound of mixing the kind of rock and roll vibe with the Irish instruments, and it sounded really good in the room. So I sat down with management and I said, I'd like to take this out on the road. I think there could be a really good show in this. And you know, I don't really think they shared my enthusiasm, because it was eight people that didn't work professionally as musicians. Like, some of them are school teachers, electricians, painters and decorators from all different walks of life. And they were saying to me, like, it might not work because there's eight of yous, and you need like accommodation and travel, and the overheads are going to be big with a band that size. But thankfully the lads weren't in it for the money. They were just in it to try and make some good music. And I can honestly say, Greg, that having played for 20 years on the scene, this is hands down the best band I've ever played with.
In a way, that story actually makes the proposition of going and seeing the show even more attractive. Listen, we must move on, George. It's been lovely speaking to you. I'm delighted things are going the way they are for you in your life. And we look forward to seeing you on the 27th of April. It's a Saturday night in the Millennium Forum in Derry. As we say, there's going to be huge demand, as you can imagine. So if you want to ensure your seat, I'd get onto the Millennium Forum box office ASAP. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Have
nice
a lovely
to chat
one.
To you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, right. We have a wee treat for you now, because we're going to be bringing you a taste of what you can look forward to if you attend the Adams Family. It's by the Letterkenny Musical Society. It's in Ungreon on Theatre, Letterkenny, from Tuesday, March 5th until Saturday, March 9th. And there's a matinee on the Saturday also at 2:30 p.m. I'm going to speak first to the director of the Adams Family by Letterkenny Musical Society. That's Marie Rush. Good morning to you, Marie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Maria. Yeah, but
I knew it was Maria, right? But someone's written Marie on the piece of paper.
I think they do that on purpose now, Greg, for me.
Yes,
and you.
But just... it's not fun. Like, I don't enjoy it. It says Marie. I know your name's Maria. I've had a day and a half, I have. Anyway,
right,
Maria, come here.
How are you?
Hey, what's it like to be back in the directorial chair?
It's absolutely brilliant. It's mayhem at the minute. It's really good fun. We're coming off the back of Kinky Boots, which I think was probably one of the best experiences of our lives as a committee, as a cast, as a crew. And even I think for the town, it was such a massive show. So it's lovely being back now with the Adams family. And this one obviously has a special kick for us because of the fact that we're back doing it again for mm-hmm. the second-ish time.
All right, okay. We have some of the cast here with us. We've got Giles Murray, who plays Gomez. Good morning to you.
Hi, Greg.
It's very good of you to dress up, actually, for today. I really do appreciate it.
Make an effort, you know.
Sarah Terry Sweeney plays Morticia. Hi, good Greg. Morning Thanks. To you. Thank you so much. And Ella Terry Sweeney plays Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I presume, obviously, your mother and daughter. I was going to say sisters, but you know, I would have got chucked out for being too soppy. Obviously, Wednesday is back in with the Netflix show and the music and all that kind of stuff. So Adam's Family, in different ways, it's always relevant, but ever more so relevant now to a newer audience that might have said, "Well, where's that character from?" and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and we're finding probably a younger. Even from the point of view of casting, there was a lot more interest from younger people mm-hmm. since we cast it in 2019. This now, because of the Wednesday series, like the Addams Family has always been a big part of everybody's lives. You know, it's going since the cartoons in the 30s, the TV shows and movies would have picked up kind of 60s, 70s and through our whole childhoods then through the 80s and 90s. So it's something we've always known. It's something that everybody knows about, different versions of it. So I think for young people now to see Wednesday and it's cool and it's retro and it's fun and it's dark and it's quite funky, I think is the word. So yeah, it definitely is bringing a new energy to hopefully to ticket sales as well whenever it comes to it. Yeah,
of course. And we'll talk about that in a moment. So what part of the Addams Family story are you presenting in this show?
So this is actually really interesting because the musical isn't based on anything that you've seen on the TV shows or the movies. One of the conditions of the rights being granted from the Addams Estate was that it would be based on the cartoons that were started in the 1938 was his first cartoon. So it seems to have taken snippets from those and created a standalone story around it. The story itself is really, really simple. It's based over 24 hours. Everything happens almost in real time on stage.
Okay, yeah.
You get because there's a familiarity with the characters before you even start, there's none of this having to build up who's who. We go straight into the story and it's really, really quick starting, isn't it?
Everybody knows everybody in it.
Mm-hmm. So and the story's mad, like it's completely manic. There's a guy in love with the moon. There's ancestors have just by chance arrived to Earth for the day on the day that Wednesday's new boyfriend's family's coming. You know, it's really, really cleverly written. It's really funny.
Okay, really brilliant good stuff. Show, and so you don't have to introduce the characters to people because there is that knowledge there. Okay, well, do you want to step over here, Maria? Yeah. This will allow the two to step forward. Sarah Terry Sweeney. Sarah, have you done much stage stuff? Pardon my ignorance if you are a Hollywood and you've just arrived into it. No, but well, you're always Hollywood, you know what I mean? In the literal sense. Like, and what's it like you and your daughter being involved?
I played Morticia the first time around when we got put off after the two nights, and I was Lauren in Kinky Boots last year. So it's really nice to be back on stage playing Morticia again and getting to do it properly and kind of a whole new show of it. And it's lovely to be on stage with my daughter, obviously. I'm very proud of her. She is really amazing and I'm really excited for people to see what I hear every day shouting from her bedroom when she's singing all evening and doing my head. And it's very easy to be annoyed on stage when I've just been annoyed with her at the house. There's not much acting involved.
Right, okay. Now we're going to do... She knows not to talk back anyway.
You are right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to play a backing track and we're going to... this is just a sample of it, of course, and not a representation of what you can enjoy for the run, but they've been good sports and they're going to give us a feel of some of the music of this show. So this is Giles Murray as Gomez, Sarah Terry Sweeney as Morticia, who we've just heard from, second time in this role, and Ella Terry Sweeney, her daughter, who plays Wednesday. And Donal's in the background. Lurch the butler, I think, Donal, is your role. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I wonder why they cast you in that role. I can't imagine. Okay, so take it away then.
Ah, the intoxicating smell of the graveyard. Once a year, we gather beneath our family tree to honor the great cycle of life and death. Come, every member of our clan, living, dead, and undecided. And let us celebrate what it is to be an Adams. Come to me, my luscious wife. Oh, she of skin so pale, eyes so black, and dress cut down to Venezuela. And tell us what it is that every Adam's hopes for.
Darkness and grief and unspeakable sorrow.
When you're an Adam's, you need to have a little moonlight. When you're an Adam's, you need to feel a little chill. You have to see the world in shades of grey. You have to put some poison in your day.
That's the way
when you're an Adam's. You need to have a sense of humor. When you're an Adam's,
you need to have a taste for death.
Who cares about the world outside and what it wants from you? When you're an Adam's, you do what Adam's always do. Me a more.
Will you love me forever and ever?
We shall be as besotted with each other as the night we met.
Our first date you took me to see.
Death of a salesman.
When you're an Adam's,
you need to have a lot of passion.
When you're an Adam's, you need to really love your wife.
Several times a day.
You're happy when your toes are in the mud.
You smile a bit the moment you smell blood.
When you're an Adam's,
you need to grab a bow and arrow.
When you're an Adam's,
you need a moment to explode. Just pour a potion,
flick the switch and wait till things get hot.
When you're an Adam's, you have to really stir the pot.
Pot! So give us shadows and give us gloom.
Broken glass in a motel room. Something fun we can all exhume and give it all tonight.
Is that it over?
That's it? Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why everyone's going, be quiet. What's going on? I thought I'd done something wrong there. Hey, that sounded fantastic. I was lost it for while that was being done. Maria, do you want to step forward there just to we flog some tickets? Right, so there are a number of shows, as you can imagine. It runs from Tuesday, March 5th until Saturday, March 9th and includes a matinee on the Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Are tickets available now?
Tickets are available. The Thursday and Friday is selling out very, very quickly. And then once the Saturday and Friday go, it moves back. We're really happy with ticket sales so far, but obviously we always will have people who say, oh yeah, we'll come to the show. And then 3 days before it opens, myself and Donal are getting calls saying, are there any tickets?
Have you any tickets? And we don't. Yeah, but that's us. That's what we do. So let's avoid it this time.
And hopefully, as always, we'll be really well supported. The show was sold out before we opened last time. And then we got two nights in when we were closed down with lockdown. So, and it's a very different show. So I think anybody who's sitting at home thinking, oh, well, I saw the first two nights, this is not the same show. Yes, it's the same script. Yes, the adult cast is largely the same, but we have a new Wednesday. We have two new Wednesdays, actually. Amy Galvin's playing the Saturday matinee as well, as the understudy. And then we have new Pugsley, a new Lucas, new musical director, new choreographer, and Emmett has done the most phenomenal job with the movement in this show. It's like something you'd see in the West End.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, really, really excited to get back at it. We are injecting new life, pardon the pun, into it. And the set's arriving now on Saturday. We get into Saturday week, we get into the theatre on Sunday. We have our dress and take on Monday and then we open on Tuesday. Brilliant. And that, yeah, it's going to be great. We're looking forward to it.
Okay, so Thursday, Friday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Obviously,
the
bottom line is if you want to ensure one of those nights, I would get on this right away. But obviously, it's going to be a packed house from Tuesday to Saturday, including the matinee. Obviously, very family friendly.
It is family friendly. We had originally always kind of thought 12 plus, but I think with Wednesday and with all the hype over the last few years since we did the last show, people get the show now, they know it. So yeah, we've removed that age limit. It is suitable for all ages. Brilliant. It's a really good, fun show.
Okay, and an awful, awful lot of effort from everyone goes into this. Even just to sorting the rights out, to sorting the nights out.
Well, without Noel O'Donnell, we wouldn't be here. You know, our producer there. We have our costume mistress, Lorraine Porter, is doing everything she can to keep everybody right with costumes. We have makeup designers. We have Niall Cranny on lights. We have, as I said, Emmett Stewart is doing choreographer. Jared Bradley is the musical director, and then there's a full team of people who come in now between backstage props, Even the PR publicity, it's a massive machine. Yeah, and then the cast and crew on top of that.
Yeah, of course. Let's not forget them. All right, Maria, thank you very much indeed. It's great as always to have you in studio. Giles, thank you very much indeed. Perfect fit for the role of Gomez, no doubt about that. And Sarah and Ella, Terry Sweeney, fantastic. And Ella, your voice is lovely. It's amazing. Okay, so that's the LMS returning with the Addams Family. It's in on Green on Theatre, Tuesday, March 5th to Saturday, March 9th, and a matinee on Saturday at 2:30. And you can get onto the box office now and get your tickets. And Camir, thank you so much for sharing your time, both Katie and Michael. It's lovely. Katie,
yes, 2-1, 1-2. Thank you for having me.
I don't feel so bad with you just taking
Gregory,
a step from reception.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Why do you look like Bono?
Have I got?
Oh, can I do like an Oasis one the next time?
And oh,
have it a bit higher.
Some
like
might
that.
Say.
Like that.
And sure. Then pick a fight with me, because that's what.
But
that's
you have to get one of those jackets with the fluff on.
I know, and my hands behind me back.
And smoke, and smoke a fag.
Before we leave, I've got to do a quick impression of Katie.
So, one thing that I really liked about this was I thought it was very.
Yes, listen. I thought it was quite good.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to talk like this now, right? Because it's very serious.
But we don't
but
have
I
time.
Feel,
oh,
I feel
yeah. Being fun now when it's over. Why are you being fun? I booked you for fun from 11 and at 2 minutes to 12, all of a sudden the fun comes out.
We're going to be hilarious from 12 to 1.
You kicked me out. That's what happened.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening all week. Thanks for listening today. Thank you to Katie and Michael, who are always excellent sports and great fun. We'll be back with you, all being well, Monday morning from 9. Have a wonderful weekend. Aidan's up next around the Northwest.
The 9 till noon show with Letterkenny Credit Union, now offering mortgages from 40,000 to 600,000 euro with no hidden fees or transaction charges. Letterkenny Credit Union, 910-2127.